And on today's Windy City Queercast, Alexandra Billings is here with us. Well, she's not in Chicago. She's in Hollywood. And she is taking us to the GLAAD Media Awards, telling us about meeting Liza Minnelli and Stockard Channing. And what is in store for the GLAAD Media Awards this year? Plus, Richard Knight Jr. has his movie review of Coraline, the new animated picture. And we have news and what's going on in the theater scene. It's such a good show when Alex is around.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Alexandra Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
We wouldn't need to justify everything we are and all that we believe. We could finally be whoever we both want to be. But when we can't be heard, and when we can't be seen, I will call you close and you will reach for me. When all
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 283. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Buildings.
You are Alexandra Buildings.
I'm Alexandra Buildings. Do you know that's what somebody called me like about 5 or 6 years ago?
Really?
Actually, they called me Alexandria Buildings.
Alexandria Buildings. Just to really suck it up.
Just to really like mess with me, they sent a congratulations bouquet from something, I don't even remember what it is, I did some gig or something, to my agent. And it said, please tell Alexandria Buildings, we loved her performance on Schmengi. And I was very, you know, very touched.
You were very touched.
I was very touched in the groin.
And now what do they call you?
Now they when call they me say, late for dinner.
Now they call you late for dinner. What's going on in Los Angeles?
Oh, it's raining and it's, you know, it's kind of semi-strike time and everybody's going crazy and hoop-de-hoo-de-hoo.
We have no snow on the ground now, finally.
That's nice. Well, there's good news.
Just woke up over the weekend and now as we're heading into the week, it's just muddy and slush, no slush or anything, just muddy and wet.
Oh, that's
balmy 58.
Oh,
that's hot for us.
Well, yes, it's hot for you, but you know, it's not. That's very chilly for us. That's what we call chilly.
Chilly.
It's very chilly, and I don't mean pepper.
Yeah, I made some chilly.
You made some chilly.
Mm-hmm. I make damn good chilly for me and Mitchell.
You actually also make a damn good sweet tea.
I do make a damn good sweet tea and a good burger.
I was just going to say, you make a fabulous cheeseburger and sweet tea.
Mm-hmm. It's
true. That's a good day at the Matheny household, I have to say.
That's true. So have you been, had any star sightings lately?
Who did I see? Have I seen anybody? I really haven't because I've been... You know, we had sort of a, the holidays, there's a 2-month hiatus in TV land and then, you know, nothing sort of, and so now everything's sort of starting up again. So I haven't, but I am going to a very, 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 very fancy schmancy party in about a month where there's going to be very, very fancy schmancy people.
Okay, can we talk to you right after you go?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Christ, yes. Christ on a cracker, yes. Yeah, because this is going to be – literally, they said, please, when you drive up, please drive up to the front gate where you will be assigned a golf cart in order to get to the house.
Who invited you to this party?
I cannot say, but I can tell you it's a very fancy.
It's a very fancy. Is it a very fancy gay?
It's not. Well, they're all. I mean, if they're fancy, they're gay. So, I mean, but the hostess is not. No, she's not.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I know. Cool, huh?
It's very cool. Have you? Now, I totally missed because you did not send out the mass email to catch your minutes on Eli Stone, but I missed them. Entirely.
Oh, I know. I did. You know, you know how bad I am at that stuff, Amy.
You're
and I
a bad
just,
promoter.
I know. I don't do it well, and I forgot. Yeah. And seriously, the Eli Stone gig was what? It was like, you know, literally 2 minutes of screen time. So,
your vlog was more screen time times 20 for the whole fucking experience.
I know. That's true. I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Oh, my Lord. So it's got to feel a little exciting out there. And today on the show, we're going to talk about the GLAAD Awards because it's the 20th annual GLAAD Media Awards. And I know you've been to the GLAAD Awards, the L.A. GLAAD Awards.
Yes.
They host them in three different cities, usually L.A., New York, sometimes in Miami. And this year it's going to be in San Francisco, but as the third city. But I just want to know, like, are you all in kind of the Oscar energy? Have you been to see a lot of movies? Do you have predictions for yourself?
I do. I also have a theory. But mm-hmm. here's my prediction is that Winslet is going to win Best Actress.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the performance?
I have. It's stunning.
And The Reader?
Oh, it's absolutely glorious. She's a fantastic actor.
She's brilliant.
I mean, honest, she really is. And she's just great. I believe everything that comes out of her mouth. I think she does it with such ease. She's not overly affected. She's just great. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. I think she's great in everything she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Slumdog Millionaire is going to win Best Picture.
You do. I hope. I do. I mean, I wish Milk would win. Honestly, I've seen.
Well,
all
he's
going
to win. He's going to win. He's going to win Best Actor.
I don't know though. I really think. Part of me wishes that Milk would win Best Picture, so that Mickey Rourke could win Best Actor.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. And
that would be great.
That would really make my world because I would rather Milk win for kind of the huge. I love Sean Penn in it, and he's fantastic. And I really thought, God, he should win until I saw The Wrestler. And that film just undid me, unglued me. I expected to be unglued by Milk because I'm so close to the story and. I've lived in that world having done the play Execution of Justice, and I was crying in the first 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
But The Wrestler just caught me so off guard, and his performance
terrific.
Is absolutely transcendental. I mean, it's just, I don't know where he begins and the character begins, where he ends and the character begins. There was not a false note. I never went, that's Mickey Rourke doing an actor. I mean, which the whole time I'm going, God, Sean Penn is so like Harvey Milk. So, and that's a testament because he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
In his recreation of Harvey Milk. But I was so in the deep end lost with Mickey Rourke. I just almost couldn't come back. I sat in the theater and Kelly and I cried after that movie.
Yeah.
Undid me.
No, look, it's tremendous. Here's the thing. Let me preface this by saying my predictions are who I think will win, not who I think should win,
okay.
But who I think will win. That's who I think will win.
I would never be sad to see Sean Penn win at all.
No,
I wouldn't either.
But I must tell you, here's the reason I think Sean Penn will win. It's because he's a straight guy playing a gay role. Now, he's wonderful. He's a fantastic actor. He has tremendous skill. He has a wonderful gift. He really is a fantastic actor. So he certainly deserves any kind of award they would throw at him. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason Hollywood loves to give prizes to the straight guys playing the gay role. Now, I think it would be very different if we had a gay actor playing that role.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest, Tom Hanks is a wonderful actor. Did he deserve an Oscar for Philadelphia? An Oscar? I don't think so.
No, it is true. You know, we watched Felicity Huffman win an Oscar for playing trans, you know.
Well, she didn't win the Oscar. She won a Golden Globe.
Oh, she didn't? Okay. Well, then she won the Golden Globe.
No, she didn't. But she was, you know, up for, she got a nomination for that role. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Penn or Mickey Rourke, they've definitely been duking it out in all of the other award ceremonies. So it will be one or the other, I feel quite certain.
And so have Kate Winslet and Meryl Streep. And here's my theory about Meryl Streep. Let me just go on record as saying this. Meryl Streep will never, ever win another Oscar. And here's why I say that. Meryl Streep is so good. Here's the thing. You go to a restaurant. Okay. You go to a restaurant and you have like a fabulous meal. And it's the most amazing meal you've ever had in your life. And you go, this is the most amazing meal I've ever had in my life. And you call your friends and you say, I had the most amazing meal I've ever had in my life. Come with me. And you go back to the restaurant and you have that same meal. And it's amazing, but it's not as amazing. Mm-hmm. And so you think, well, maybe it was just the day or something. So you invite some more friends. You go back months later and you have that same meal. And it's amazing, but it's still not as amazing. Mm. Meryl Streep is so good, literally in everything. In She-Devil, that god-awful film. She's brilliant in it. She's hilarious.
She's hilarious in Death Becomes Her, let me tell you.
Hilarious in that film. There literally is – she can sing. She can dance. She does it all. There is nothing she can't do. And we are so used to seeing her be so good, and so is the Academy. There's no reason to give her anything.
Yeah.
She will never do a performance that is not A+, that is not near perfection. She's that good.
Well,
which is why they awarded her the actor, the SAG award. That was her consolation prize. She will never, ever get another Oscar.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because the one thing I will say is they may award her this year because she has proven bankable at 60.
Amazing.
She has had such a year of money.
Yeah.
That if there are enough people in Hollywood that need that or want to applaud that, she will win. And it will be based on how many, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars she made this year, the past 2 years, with Devil Wears Prada, Mamma Mia, and now Doubt.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
The only interesting thing. Kate Winslet is far due. So brilliant in Heavenly Creatures, so brilliant in Little Children, so brilliant in
Revolutionary War.
I haven't seen Revolutionary Road yet.
Revolutionary War.
Makes me feel like I will want to go home and like slit Kelly's wrists or something if I go see that movie.
Oh,
I can go there. But
that's a big one.
Yeah, The Reader's on my short list, and we were going to go this weekend, but we ended up seeing one of the other movies that's nominated for a GLAAD Award. And when we come back, I want to take a real quick break and tell all of you what's going on in the theater scene. And also, Richard Knight Jr. has a little movie review of his own. It's for the film Coraline, which is the brand new animated film that I hear is really exceptional. Let's see if Richard Knight thinks the same. Plus, we've got lots of news. And then we're back with Alexandra Billings because she's been on the GLAAD red carpet. So we're going to get her thoughts on the 20th annual GLAAD Media Awards on the Queercast.
Nice.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Trends come and go. Styles come and go. Broadway shows come and go. But the classics, the best of the best, they're here to stay. They're always fresh and they're always hot.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz.
Welcome to Chicago, the musical. The one show that's as hot as ever. Because Chicago's full of things that are always in fashion. Sex. Danger. A timeless story about crime, fame, and scandal. And the legendary choreography of the great Bob Fosse. Come discover the one musical that never goes out of style. Chicago.
Limited engagement begins February 24th at the Ford Center Oriental Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 9th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The Court Theater presents The Wild Duck, the searing tragicomedy presented by award-winning director Charles Newell. The Wild Duck is playing now with performances at the Museum of Contemporary Art through February 15th. For more on The Wild Duck, visit courttheater.org.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production The Maids by Jean Genet at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets today for The Maids at writerstheater.org.
A Paris hotel, a loopy bellboy, an astute concierge, a naked bombshell, a society of pâté lovers. Add three Americans, a beautiful woman, her ex-husband, and her young doctor. Throw into the mix Ducks in Harm's Way. And ooh la la, what do you have? Slap Happy, a romantic comedy with a taste of foie gras. At Theater Building Chicago, for tickets and more, visit slaphappyplay.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Sharon Gless, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knightchin with another Night at the Movies Minute. Henry Selick, who directed the 1993 stop-motion animation feature A Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach, which followed, is back with Coraline, the first stop-motion animation film shot in 3D. The film's a gently twisted variation on Alice in Wonderland, and it's a charming winner. The story centers on the oddly named heroine, voiced by Dakota Fanning, a new resident at the eccentric Pink Palace Apartments, whose distracted parents, voiced by Terry Hatcher and The Daily Show's John Hodgman, are constantly busy at their laptops. Bored and out of sorts, Coraline goes exploring. First she meets her eccentric neighbors, then she finds a little Dean John Malkovich-like door, which leads as a rabbit, which acts as a rabbit hole to a new, rather trippy world that's a gloriously intoxicating doppelganger of the one she's just left behind. The garden, which she finds with its exotic blooms in particular, seems inspired by a very pleasant LSD trip. Coraline thinks this is the place for her until she awakens to its enormous dangers. Though the film shares the same delight in all things gothic that Nightmare, Corpse Bride, and Monster House did, Coraline is sweeter in tone and has lots of visual panache, helped by the 3D effects, which have the frozen-in-place charm of antique stereoscope postcards. It's a very substantial story as well, and has a memorable leading character that one can root for, and the crackpot eccentric neighbors, who are voiced by Dawn French and Ab Pep, Jennifer Saunders, a hoot to boot. The film, adapted by Selick, is based on the graphic novel by Neil Gaiman. Gaiman was also responsible for the source material for Stardust, the 2007 live-action fairy tale that I think is a classic of the genre, but got unfairly overlooked by audiences. Go get it, it's on DVD. Michelle Pfeiffer is fabulous and Robert De Niro plays gay. Hopefully, Coraline won't fall down another rabbit hole and suffer the same fate. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. I can't talk tonight. What else is new? Oy, gobbledygook.
Hello.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion. And we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Ron Huberman, the new chief of Chicago Public Schools, officially came out during an interview with the Chicago Sun-Times last week. Huberman, age 37, who previously headed the Chicago Transit Authority, has faced criticism from many because he was selected over Barbara Eason Watkins, who has extensive education experience. Huberman has none, although he has management experience.
The Justice Department has rehired Leslie Hagen after she was fired for being a lesbian. Despite being constantly praised by her supervisors, Hagen was fired in February 2007, despite sexual orientation discrimination protection within the department. It was discovered that conservative attorney Monica Goodling was instrumental in Hagen's departure. The department has not yet offered an apology.
The California Supreme Court will hear oral arguments involving the legal challenge to Proposition 8 on March 5th. The National Center for Lesbian Rights, Lambda Legal, and the ACLU will contend that Prop 8 is invalid because it denies all people equal treatment under the law by taking away a right from only one group.
In Massachusetts, the lesbians who spearheaded the movement that led to same-sex marriage in the state have now filed for divorce. Hillary and Julie Goodridge's lawsuit led the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court to legalize same-sex marriage in 2003, and they married the following year. Reportedly, Hillary enjoyed being known as a gay pioneer, while Julie preferred staying in the background.
In Texas, John Paul Barnick, the state's first openly gay city court judge, died February 2nd from a diabetes-related complications at age 63. Barnick was the founder of the Bar Association for Human Rights and offered pro bono services for GLBT and HIV-related cases.
In California, 39-year-old parolee Thomas Jeffrey Brooks confessed to killing Edward Clayton Andrews, 80. Brooks allegedly asphyxiated the gay man, wrapped him in a blanket, and buried his remains in a sculpture Brooks was creating. Police arrested Brooks August 8th and later discovered that over $90,000 had been drained from the Andrews bank account. The two started a pen pal relationship while Brooks was in jail.
In the Bahamas, Frederick Green Neely, who admitted to killing a gay HIV-positive man, was freed after a jury decided the defendant was threatened with rape and was defending himself. Green Neely said that he stabbed Dale Williams after the gay man grabbed his genitals. The defense attorney said that Green Neely was, quote, defending his manhood, end quote, and the jury agreed.
In London, a 27-year-old has testified in court that 51-year-old John Warboys drugged and sexually assaulted her after telling him he was a virgin and a lesbian. So far, Warboys has denied 23 charges of rape, sexual assault, and administering a substance with intent.
Members of Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda are reportedly raping young men in order to compel them to commit suicide bombings. Algerian militant Abu Basir el-Assimi has said that the sexual act on young recruits aged 16 to 19 was a means to urge them to commit suicide operations. Moreover, the paper goes on to state that intense social stigma and fear of more gay sex attacks leaves Muslims prepared to die.
And in entertainment news, Hilary Duff and the legendary actress Faye Dunaway are in a feud. When Dunaway heard that Duff is assuming her role in the story of Bonnie and Clyde, the older actress asked, could they at least cast a real actress? Duff responded, I think it was a little unnecessary, but I might be mad if I looked like that now, too. Ouch.
A sequel to the Sex and the City the movie has officially been greenlit. That is right. Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis all have signed on, along with writer-director Michael Patrick King. King said, "I'm very excited to work on with these amazing actresses again and would love to give everyone more information about the sequel, but I'm busy with my sex life." So it is expected to arrive in theaters, so we'll just have to wait till the summer of 2010.
New Kids on the Block singer Jonathan Knight has been outed by his ex-boyfriend, Brazilian model Kyle Wilker. The National Enquirer has obtained photos of Knight and Wilker kissing. Wilker told the tabloid that, "We had a wonderful relationship. I was in love with him and I believe he was in love with me." The couple recently ended their relationship after 18 months. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
So, Alex?
Yeah, Amy?
Tell me, when you went to the GLAAD Awards, you got to see Liza Minnelli, right, last year?
Well, I got to see her ass, yes, because I was behind her. And have I ever told you this story, this my Liza Minnelli story?
I don't know. This one's closely aligned with your Stockard Channing story, right?
Yes. Well, they were in the same – it was the same night.
Yes.
Stockard – so you go to the GLAAD Awards and you know, when you they all when you walk the red carpet, they herd you back to, not herd, but they – well, yeah, herd. They herd you back to this little room and they where all the famous people are. So there was all these famous people and me. And before you walk the actual physical red carpet, you get assigned an assistant – who is the person who goes, "Okay, go talk to them and let's get out of here." And then you go talk to somebody else, "Let's get out of here," and stuff like that. And then you walk down the red carpet and talk to the press and get your picture taken. So we're all corralled in this room and there's everybody is there, everybody. Now, I had no idea that the year I went, I think this was 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea that they were doing a tribute to Liza. I had no idea. Nobody told me this. So now me being a Liza Minnelli freak, I'm backstage, you know, in the little room with my manager, Billy, who's dreamy as dreamy can be. And he knows my thing about famous people. I have this thing. I have what I call FTP, which is FPT, which is called famous people Tourette's. And what happens to me is I get around famous people and I say something stupid. That's always what happens. Always, always, always. So we're standing there and I turned to my right and there's Stockard Channing. And I went, "Holy fuck, it's Stockard Channing." And Billy goes, "Well, go say something." And I said, "No, you know what's going to happen if I say something." And he goes, No. You're going to be fine. I'm standing right next to you. Nothing's going to happen." So he motions her over, Stockard. And she's in this fabulous green dress and she kind of goes, "Oh, hello," because everybody knows Billy. "Oh, hello." And she walks up. She doesn't talk like that, but she kind of walked over. She doesn't sound like the Queen of England, but she walked over and she stood there and I'm like, and then it kicked in. I was like, "Oh, Stockard Channing. I love you, Stockard Channing. I think you're a wonderful actress, Stockard Channing. I'm a huge fan, Stockard Channing. And Stockard Channing, I've been loving you for many years, Stockard Channing. I saw you in 6 Degrees of Stockard Channing and I couldn't stop saying Stockard Channing."
I saw her in Six Degrees of Stockard Channing too.
She was fantastic in Six Degrees of Stockard Channing.
Yeah.
She was also brilliant in First Wife's Stockard Channing Club. Anyway, so yeah. I made a fool of myself instead of Stockard Channing because she went from this expression of, "Oh, how lovely that this person is," saying, "I need to get out of here because she's crazy, obviously." So she kind of – that didn't go well. So she kind of left. But then I turn to my left and I see a big black ball of sequins. And I turned to Billy and I said, "You know, if I didn't know any better, I could swear that was Liza Minnelli." And he turned to me and he said, that's Liza Minnelli. And I went, "That's Liza Minnelli. That's Liza Minnelli. That's Liza Minnelli. Liza." And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, okay. So I said nothing because it's a bad idea. So here's what happened. As she's getting ready to go out on the red carpet, I get my little assistant lady. And it's me and Billy and my assistant. And Liza has 15 people around her, you know, people with machine guns and machetes and, you know, all kinds of people around her. And they send her out. They're like, "Miss Minnelli." And Liza walks out and she walks out of the red carpet and she stands there. And all of a sudden it's like flashbulbs and script. Liza, Liza! Liza, Liza! Liza, Liza!
You are at the Gay Media Awards, for God's sake. So, yes.
Right, exactly. And that's it was like Liza confetti. Like everything, like she exploded and all the homosexuals poured out of her. It was insane. So all these lights are flashing and all this noise and blah, 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 blah. And she stands there and she poses and she looks fantastic and la-di-da-di-da. And then she moves a little farther down the red carpet and the same thing happens. Now, then my assistant, whatever the hell her name was, turns to me and goes, Miss Billings, you're next. And I went, you want me to follow Liza Minnelli down the red carpet? Are you crackers? So she goes, well, that's your name on the list and you have to go. So I walk out and this is what I hear. And then I hear this. Who? Yeah, that's my Liza Minnelli story.
Oh, will you be going again this year?
No, they asked and I have to go do a show out of town and I can't go. They were so nice to even have asked me because, you know, I only did like two things this year and they were just so lovely to ask me. I think Candace is going because, you know, she's a big star now. Whatever.
Candace, but her show is canceled.
I know, which made me really sad.
It is sad. It's not even up for a GLAAD Award, I don't believe, this past year.
The role is very tiny, I think, maybe.
Her role was actually pretty good sized and pretty pivotal.
Oh, was it?
Actually.
Oh, well, then I don't know why they didn't do that. That's strange.
Because I used to watch it. But let's talk about some of the top categories. You know, they have a few special awards they give out. They're giving out an Excellence in Media Award to Tyra Banks. You're one chance closer to becoming America's next top model.
What?
They're giving an Excellence in Media Award to Tyra Banks.
What?
It's true. Now, these have to be straight people. They're always straight people. Well, one straight person that they give, you know, well, one year they gave it to like Jennifer Aniston because she played a girl who loved a gay guy in a film once. I never even understood some of these times when they give it to people, but they gave it to Tyra, I guess, her coverage on her show and also on America's Next Top Model, perhaps. I don't know. But okay. But the Vito Russo Award this year is going to Susie Orman, which I think is fabulous.
Oh, I love her.
I love her too.
I love her. Yeah, she's good.
Yep.
Yeah, I love her financial advice. And I just love her. I think she's great.
She needs to not always wear a collared shirt and get a new pair of earrings. But other than that, I love her.
Yeah, that's true.
She looks like one of those lesbians who plays golf on the weekend, is reliable, and probably straps it on big time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I did. I
know all
there.
That from just looking at her shirts and earrings, for God's
sake. I just can tell from the hair and the shirt. So the outstanding film, they break that up into wide release and limited release, which is really nice so that some smaller films can get attention. And for their outstanding film wide release, they have Brideshead Revisited, Milk, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, Rock and Rolla, which I don't know, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona, which I saw today, actually.
Oh!
The Woody Allen film. And I think Milk will walk away with this, but but it's kind of a fun and diverse series of films. I don't know. My prediction is Milk. And then in the limited release, they have The Edge of Heaven, Noah's Ark, Jumping the Broom, Save Me, Shelter, and XXY. And I haven't seen any of those films.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I haven't seen any of these things.
All right. Well, then let's go to TV then. So, outstanding drama series, Brothers and Sisters, The L Word. How the fuck did that get on there? South of Nowhere, Torchwood, and True Blood, which I don't watch this True Blood show that everybody's talking about on HBO.
No. Yeah, no. I saw that. Anna Paquin, I think, won a Golden Globe for her performance.
I don't even understand that. I don't even feel like she can
either.
Speak.
I got to tell you, I saw that thing. I watched the first, because I love vampires. I love me some horror films. And I watched that thing and I just slept. I think I, that was boring.
I hear it got better, but yeah, I couldn't get into it the first episode or two.
Yeah. No.
As far as I'm concerned, it's no Big Love, you know?
But how is it gay? Is it gay?
Well, I guess there are gay vampires. So there's, I think there are some gay characters. Torchwood, I've heard really great things about from BBC America. I think he's a detective. I don't know if you are listening and want to type in about how ignorant I am. The L Word deserves no awards. That's what
I'd
I have
like to
say.
To type,
except for
I'd
hot
like,
Jennifer Beals. Just give her anything
oh,
she
she's
wants.
Fabulous. I love her. I'd like, can I type in how ignorant you are? That'd be fun. Can I do that?
Do. Please type in okay. how ignorant I am.
I'm doing it right now.
And do you watch Brothers and Sisters?
I don't. I try and watch it. I try and only watch Sally Field because she's so magnificent and glorious, but I can't. I'm not a big soap opera gal.
And it's usually. A nighttime so soap. Quite melodramatic.
Is it? I love everybody on it. I think the actors are terrific. I'm just not – it's not that it's a bad show. I just don't – it's not my bag, really.
But it's got a lot of really great gay content. Doesn't have really
oh, does. Oh, yeah. They're one
content.
Of the – yeah. One of her sons is gay or something,
mm-hmm.
isn't he?
Yeah. And they've definitely had a lot of storylines around that.
Oh, that's good.
The outstanding comedy series Desperate Housewives, Greek, Reaper, Skins, and Ugly Betty.
My Which, God, I don't know any of these shows, Amy. My
okay.
God.
I think Ugly Betty is the gayest show on television. I love it. I
is
love
it really?
It so much. I cannot believe you don't watch it. It is catty and funny and gay. It is the funniest thing ever.
You've been telling me this now for a year, and I still haven't watched it. So
yeah,
I need to do it. I need to do it. I need to watch it. I need to do it. But isn't that the one that Rebecca Romijn is on?
She was, but she's not anymore because she's preggers, so they wrote her off.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well.
So she's
right.
not on it anymore.
That's
but they
poopy.
Have outwardly gay characters that are
outwardly
fun.
Gay? What is outwardly gay?
Well, mean? I mean, they just have characters that are gay. I mean, you know,
as opposed to what?
I don't know. There are some characters on there that obviously you know are gay, but we don't follow their storyline because it all takes place in a fashion magazine. But there are, you know, characters. They have the young America Ferrera, the kid that plays her young nephew, is very gay. They don't discuss it because he's like 14, but he's very flamboyant and loves musical theater and is just fabulous at 14. And then they have Mark, who's the character that is kind of Vanessa Williams' funny and evil assistant, and he's campy and funny and touching. He's had some nice stuff to do, so they're not you know, back when we used to have such stereotypical characters, you know, that was when the GLAAD Awards were just happy that anybody threw you a bone, like anybody gay was on television, right?
Yeah,
20
yeah,
years
yeah.
ago. And now they're having things like they have a category called Outstanding Talk Show Episode, which, you know, they have like Ellen and Portia's wedding day on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, like when she shared her they have Gays in the Ghetto on Tyra Banks. They have Don't Ruin My Gay Wedding on Tyra Banks.
Don't Ruin My Gay Wedding.
They have Transgender Triumphs on Tyra Banks. Oprah.
Oh, Transgender Triumphs. I should be on that show.
You
should have been. Transgender Triumphs.
They have The Pregnant Man on the Oprah Show.
Oh, Christ.
But I think the category that many people will be most excited about is the Outstanding Daily Drama. And that will be when the lesbians on All My Children duke it out with Mitchell Fain's favorite show, As the World Turns, where the gay boys are, you know, doing their turn. So,
is that his favorite show? As the
oh
world
my
turns?
God, he just no, he just watches the little snippets of like the gay boys on there.
Oh,
somehow he knows how to do that.
Well, I'm sure he does. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and then it's really interesting because, you know, I actually won a GLAAD Award. Many years ago, our team at Les by Gay Radio, we won a GLAAD Award in, I don't know what year it was. It was a while ago.
Oh,
and
I
did not travel to DC to get it with Alan and Charles, but we did win one.
What was it for?
It was a special award because at the time we were the only, if you can imagine, the only daily gay radio show. You know, now where we have a million gay podcasts and gay radio shows. Back then, that was cutting edge. We got our award right after Larry King got a special award.
For heaven's sake.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
What do you know?
But definitely, they are looking at media, and they had some really interesting, outstanding TV journalism on, like, Gay in Cuba. That was one on the Situation Room on CNN. They had one on Prop 8, his special comment, which was Keith Olbermann's Countdown with Keith Olbermann, which we posted on our blog on the Windy City Queercast. Rachel Maddow's episode about Rick Warren, Change to Believe In?
Oh, dear.
Well, she actually was, that was a great one because she really challenged him. And then Taking to the Streets was a Good Morning America weekend. So,
you know, I got to tell you something about Rick Warren. This just happened to me.
Yeah.
One of my family members, this is very strange. My family's fantastic. One of my family members sent me this email, and they're very religious people, lovely people, very, very religious people. And they usually send me stuff about God and their spirituality, which I love because the message is always so great. Mm-hmm. But they sent me this email and quoted Rick Warren. And at the bottom, they put things like, he's fantastic and he's wonderful and trust God and love God. And if you have any answer, if you need answers, go to God and all this stuff. And I got to tell you, I angsted, Amy, for the longest time about do I write them back and tell them, listen, there's another side to this guy that apparently you don't know. And I guess, and I'm still wrestling with that. I haven't decided what to do about that yet. But the interesting thing is this guy, I hate to get off track, but this guy seems to have, or maybe it's the people who follow him. The people seem to disregard the big picture. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The people who follow Rick Warren pick and choose, kind of like the people who read the Bible and pick and choose what they want to interpret out of the Bible and sort of ignore the rest.
Mm-hmm.
People are following this guy and they're saying, yes, well, all these things that he said about the homosexual community, they don't exist. And either they're saying they don't exist or they agree with him and they're just not putting it, you know, out into the universe. But I just thought it was really bizarre that a family member of mine would send something personal like that to me without any kind of anything, a postscript that had to do with these ridiculously inane things he said about the gay community.
Hmm.
And I guess I just wonder, like, what do you think? Do you think it's people who are in denial about, oh, he never said that? Or do you think it's people who, yes, we absolutely agree with what he said. Homosexuals are Nazis. They are pedophiles. You know, do you think they agree and they're just not saying it? I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, I think that so much spin was done around having him read that, do his invocation. You know, at the inauguration, and he tried to make it sound inclusive. I can't remember some of the language that he used. And
I felt
a bit manipulated by it, and at the same time thought, well, maybe when you're in such a huge spotlight, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to preach more tolerance. You're going to have to preach more inclusion. I don't think he's going to preach like from what they would call a reconciling perspective. But I wonder, you know, I can hope in this new era of the Obama administration and Obama America, even more than the administration, that I can lean into he learned something from, you know, ignorant views or preaching something that lacked tolerance from the pulpit. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he gets tagged from here on out saying things about gay people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And yet, And you know, I mean, I'm a Christian. I say the Lord's Prayer all the time. But I was kind of shocked that then he said the Lord's Prayer at the end, which I thought, wow, I would really love that. I would have been very moved by standing in the middle of that, you know, the big mall there. That's what they call it, the big mall, you know, with millions of people saying the Lord's Prayer mm-hmm. in unison. But a majority of our country, I don't think, says the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And my partner looks at me, Kelly looks at me and says, what part of church and state separation do they not understand? Like, why are we having an invocation
yes.
at all? You know? Like,
absolutely.
Why are we having
well,
an invocation at all
right.
at our inauguration? And
I'm with her. I'm
and
with
so
her.
So it becomes the hypocrisy. Like, do I think spirituality has a place in our leaders? I hope so. I hope they have some spirituality. I don't care what it is. I just hope that they don't think they're gods. And I hope that...
See, but now that's interesting, Amy, because you're actually, that's really interesting. But you know, there was a poll taken years ago about people who would either vote for a black president or an atheist. And people voted for the black president more than they voted for the atheist. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's interesting that you say church and state, but at the same time, you want somebody leading the country that has some kind of spirituality. What's wrong with having an atheist for a president? What would be the harm in that?
Well...
See what I'm saying? I mean, you really don't
saying,
want.
Although I have never, I in my limited perspective, and this is limited, you know, and this is my narrow-mindedness, and I'm sure it will be changed and ratified. But I don't know. I don't know that I've met many hopeful atheists, and the atheists that I've met, don't seem really happy and don't seem to have a joy of life. They have a joy of debate.
Listen,
and maybe they would be a good person to
lead
our country.
I understand what you're saying, but listen, do you think for 1 second George Bush was a happy guy? That guy wasn't a happy guy, and he believed in God.
I think he's blissfully happy and absolutely out of his gourd and, you know, has no foot in reality, honestly. And I don't
think he's happy and filled with joy.
I think he's just, yeah, like an ignorant person is. Like, ignorance is bliss is what I think his deal is.
Wow.
I don't think he's filled with joy, but I don't think he's tortured, I guess.
Well, I
wish he was more
tortured
because it would mean he was thinking about something, you know?
Well, right. Absolutely. I mean, he's a blithering idiot. But I mean, you know, according to your theory, if in fact, you know, and he's a very religious person, if he's religious, that fills him with some kind of joy. His religion brings him joy. I don't think that's true.
I didn't say also, religious. I said spiritual. I don't care what they are.
I
definitely don't mean Christian. I wouldn't have to vote for somebody Christian. I wouldn't have to vote for somebody even Jewish. But I would have a problem. I feel like Matthew McConaughey in that awful movie Contact. Isn't it awful that I'm having a flash of that horrible, uncomfortable moment between he and Jodie Foster when I'm supposed to think that they have any sexual chemistry whatsoever?
I know. Creepy,
except
creepy.
For going, God, his
don't
hair is
touch
pretty.
The lesbian.
Yeah,
step away from the lesbian.
But like, I don't know. I just want to believe that. I don't know. I mean, it,
well,
you, we
can I
talk
mean,
about
seriously,
it for hours,
then
honestly.
You don't believe in separation of church and state because,
no,
you know.
No, I do. I don't believe that one should rule. I don't think that a prayer should be done in an invocation. I don't believe that God should be mentioned. But obviously the values of a person or the spirit of a person or the heart of a person is going to go into any job one goes into.
Well, I agree with you, but I know atheists, and I know a couple, actually, two. Well, two. Literally, two. I know two. And they're very joyful people. They're very fun, joyful, lovely, fantastic, intelligent people. They're not any less or more joyful than I am. And it certainly doesn't mean that they're less qualified to run the country. I, quite frankly, couldn't give a shit what you believe in. I don't care. In fact, I don't even want to hear what you believe in. I believe truly it should not even enter into the equation.
Well, that's
not
what,
in least.
You know, that's what Deb Pierce, our correspondent from Toronto, after the inauguration, we discussed church and state, and she said, you know what? I have no idea what our prime minister is. It's never discussed in Canada. I could not even tell you. Does he go to church? Where does he go to church? What kind of church? What is he? I could not tell you. And I find, you know, that's where you can just go, wow, it is very different in the old U.S. of A. So,
well, see, and that's my thing. I mean, you know, you most, like most Americans, would rather vote for anything else other than an atheist. We got to have
I don't know that I would. Well, I think many people would. I don't know that it would. I don't know that it would bother me that I wouldn't vote. I just think it would tell me something about that person.
What? That's crazy.
I would just tell me that they're an atheist. I mean,
well, yes. What does that have to do with? What does that have to do with running the country? That doesn't have anything to do with running the country. Whether or not he believes in God.
Can I tell you that I worry about people's? I just would worry about somebody having that much power, seeing themselves as a god, and not that atheists believe that they're gods. But to disbelieve.
No, they don't. They don't believe that at all.
Right. They don't
they
believe.
They just do. No, they don't believe they're God. They just don't believe that there is one and right. that no, they've never been proven. Most atheists.
But isn't that agnostic? What you're talking about is agnostic.
Yes, but atheists are the same kind of way. They what my point is, atheists don't believe that they themselves are God and all knowing.
No.
They don't believe that. They just don't believe there's anything at all.
Yeah.
You're born and then you die. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all they believe in. Well, listen. Well, you know, I mean, I don't happen to subscribe to that belief. But again, what the hell does that have to do with running the country? What does that have to do with, you know, talks with Israel and talks with Pakistan and getting bombs out of North Korea?
Because as much as I really don't want a fundamentalist Christian in the White House, I don't want an atheist in the White House. And that's just how I am. I mean, that's just where I am. Now, an agnostic, someone who goes... I don't know that we can know anything. I don't know that we can actually say something exists. You know, they don't really have a faith, nor do they not believe. They just go, we can't know that. It can't be known. I have less trouble with that person than somebody says there is absolutely no God, or somebody that's like Rick Warren, the stuff that we started this whole conversation with, who's like, this is the way it is. It's the letter of the Bible. It's fundamental. It's too fundamental for me. And I guess this is why we elect usually centralist people, or they move to the center as soon as they get in office.
Well, that's not true. John F. Kennedy was very Catholic. Both the Bushes are, you know,
he was
pretty much fundamentalist Christians.
I know, but I didn't vote for the Bushes. I wouldn't vote for the Bushes.
I'm saying, but well, when you say we, I mean, we as the United States of America elected those people and they are very religious. We have a history.
No. I mean, we do. I'm just saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I would have a problem voting for anybody that extreme.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Well,
for president, I'd vote you for something else. I mean, hell, you can be my alderman. I mean, I don't care about
how generous of you.
Yes, you know, you could probably be our governor. Who knows, you know? We elected one of those that was pretty radical.
Well, I just think that the whole, I mean, you know, like I just think the whole religion thing should be, it should, no one should even, it's no one's business.
I agree.
No one needs to know. I don't want to know. I don't care.
Let's vote in a homo. That's what I think. After Obama.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. I love that idea. I think that's brilliant.
Let's vote in a gay guy.
A gay, or a gay woman. That would be even
better.
Or
a trans woman. Let's do that.
Would make me so happy, I would literally urinate on my left shoe.
Alexandra Billings for president.
Alexandria Billings for president. And then, when I give my inaugural address, I could do the sounds of sex.
No, actually, I will do it as your poem.
Oh, that would be genius!
That would be good, right?
Yes.
I'll
you
do
be
your
the
poem.
Poet.
Hey, we've got to wrap this one up, but we have another show with Alexandra Billings, and I hear that she has a ton to say about a certain trans persona. And we're also going to have more in that show, something new coming to you from the B in the GLBT. So, Alex, we will talk to you again later on this week.
I love it.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.